T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
PDGA Radio returns for the week of June 16th, 2008. I'm Steve Kaczynski, and this week's program has results from the two major events on the PDGA schedule, along with a couple dozen others held across the world this past week. We'll also flash back to some 60-second clinics from earlier this year, get you all caught up with your disc golf news, including an update in the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the championship standings, and preview this next week's tournament action, including another national tour stop in California. That and more coming your way on this edition of PDGA Radio, being brought to you by the International Disc Golf Center, Discraft, the PDGA Store, and Innova. Sometimes it's difficult to believe that 25 years have passed since Innova's Dave Dunapace created the world's first true golf disc. Those triangular rim discs were faster and more accurate, immediately commanding the attention of all who played. Tournament players instantly recognized that Innova discs provide an undeniable competitive advantage, and our discs have since been used to win more major titles than all other brands combined. Our love for the game remains strong. Innova Champion, celebrating 25 years as the industry leader in disc golf. Well, the pros had their first major event of the 2008 season. However, most of them had to travel across an ocean to arrive in Japan for the 2008 Japan Open, where not only did many of them have to adjust to the foreign culture and time change, but they also had to throw the 150 class of golf discs. But in the end, it was still the world's number one ranked player and David Feldberg running away with the tournament in front of the large local media presence. He shoots over 1050 rated golf each of the first three rounds, then gains another six shots over second during the final nine. Japan's reigning national champion Manabu Kajiyama takes second place, but he's a distant 11 throws behind Feldberg. Avery Jenkins was another six throws back in third place. Finland's Jussi Maresma takes fourth place, followed by Nate Sexton, Nate Doss, Ken Climo, Jay Redding, Jesper Lundmark, and Hans Tegebach. And now flipping over to the women's division, they saw another runaway win, this one by Valerie Jenkins, as she cruises to a 12-throw victory, helped in large part by a 10-24 rated second round that beats all other women by at least 10 throws. In fact, that score for that round only bettered by eight players in the men's division. Kari Berlegar takes second place for the women, followed by Finland's Anne Matalainen and Des Redding. Hey, for more information about this year's Japan Open and future events in Japan, visit japanopen.info. Now back to the United States, we turn our attention to the amateurs, as the United States Amateur Disc Golf Championships were held on the infamous Toboggan course in Milford, Michigan. Well, some threatening storms briefly delayed the start of the event on Friday, and, well, in the end, it was anybody's tournament to win all the way until the final few holes Sunday. It was Dexter, Michigan's Damon Stalin coming in with a 10-36 rated final round. He jumps all the way up, forcing a playoff with Battle Creek, Michigan's Mark Roberts. And from there, it took six holes of the playoff going up and down the hills before Stalin prevails and takes the title as the 2008 U.S. Amateur Disc Golf Champion. Ohio's Chris Wojciechowski finishes one throw behind in third place, followed by Jamie Mosier and Patrick Brown. Elsewhere around the disc golf world, we can focus on the United States, as the Japan Open was the only international event sanctioned this past weekend. In North Carolina, it was the 2008 Points Bonanza, a C-tier tournament held each day, Thursday through Sunday, on various courses around Charlotte. Thursday's event at Reedy Park was won by Stan McDaniel by three over Jeremy Kohling. Friday, they were at the Hornets Nest Park, and Michael Johansson got the win by four over over McDaniel. Saturday was Kilbourne Park's turn to get in the action. It saw the third different winner so far, with Chris Howard getting the win by one over Matt Peckham. Sunday, they went to play the Sugar Creek Park course, and Stan McDaniel gets another win, this one by five over Chris Howard. There was an A-tier also held this past weekend, and we can't forget about it. It's the always popular High Plains Challenge in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Eric McCabe collects that win and the $1,100 winner's check. Patrick Blazek finishes in second, three throws back. Liz Lopez wins by 14 in the women's pro division. And now we go to the rundown, where Dallas Albright wins by four at the Steady Ed Birthday Memorial in California. Kayla Visca wins the Cedar Creek Open in Minnesota. Mike Worth gets a big win over Tyler Christensen at the Riverside Open in Sumner, Washington. Elaine King wins a women's only event in Michigan, claiming the Disc Girls Gone Wild title. Mike Loya beats Corey Sharp in Utah. Chris Borrow beats Ken Franks in Nebraska in a playoff. Craig Cutler beats out Steve Brinster Saturday in Massachusetts, but Brinster drives across the state, gets his revenge Sunday, beating out Cutler in the J Park Jammer in Western New York. Kieran Nichols wins in Maine. Tyler Horn wins in Ohio. Coda Hatfield wins in Arkansas. Michael Olsa and Dixon Jowers both get wins in Texas. Barry Schultz gets a win in his home state of Wisconsin. And David Koch cruises to a 12-throw victory over Stan Johansson at the Idlewild course in Kentucky. That's helped in part by a final round rated 10-44, eight throws better than any of the competition.
Hey yo, Brian Sullivan here, ready to feed your head with more fun facts. So why is consistent plastic important? Well, let's say you buy a first run driver and you love it and then you lose it, but you go to replace it and it just doesn't fly the same. Well, that is because, newsflash here, the manufacturer bought their plastic from the lowest bidder. Now it's different plastic in your favorite disc. Well, avoid that headache. Throw Discraft. They always buy the same primo plastics from the same vendors. Consistency matters. Throw Discraft.
In honor of David Feldberg's win this past weekend at the Japan Open, I'm running a series of 60-second clinics from Dave that we recorded and originally aired earlier this year. The first one will teach you how to gain distance on your drives without having to throw harder.
Hi, this is David Feldberg, and let's talk about increasing distance today. Increasing distance, one of the key factors is timing. I feel that most players concentrate more on reaching back and trying to throw hard than they do timing. Your right leg and your right arm should be doing the same thing during a throw, just like your left leg and left arm. So if you think about it, as you come through, if your right arm is there before your right leg, then you're off, or vice versa. So you want to be having them come together at the same time. As you pull across, you want your knee to be bent as your elbow's bent, and as you pull your disc across and come forward, so should your knee and your foot, and be doing the exact same plane of motion. That's one important key. The second important key is where the motion is coming from, and that's called the hit. And what players are not doing when they're learning is they're reaching back as hard as they can and pulling as hard as they can, and by the time they get to what we call the hit, the last inch or so before you let go of it, where power and speed come together, they're out of speed, so they go from 120% at a full reach back to 80% when they let go of it. But when you're reaching back, your arm should be somewhat loose, going from maybe 30 to 60%. And as you come across the chest, slowly increasing the speed until you get right to the hit, the moment where the acceleration increases before you release, and hit it with everything you got to 120%. And that's what you'll increase distance with. I think that the problem is people are out of power when they get to the release point because they're trying too hard at the pullback, when the arm should be loose in the pullback with a quick hit at the end. So those are two quick tips I can help anybody increase distance, I believe.
Next, Dave discusses a simple but yet often unknown key for correctly aiming your putts.
So hello, you're here with Dave Feldberg again, and we're going to talk about how do you aim your putt. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there. People say, I'm going to aim at a chain link, or I'm going to aim at the pole, or I'm going to paint the pole. I think that is all great if you're very capable of looking 40 feet away and picking something the size of a pin, but most people aren't. So what I like to do is pick a general area and height that I would like it to fly in, and then pick the speed in which to do that. Then, the trick is, as you become a better player, you realize that everybody, or the majority of people, are left-eye or right-eye dominant. And here's the trick, everyone. What you do is, you close one eye, and you look at something. Well, you actually take the item, you put it in front of you with both eyes, you see it, you close one eye, you see where it moves to. If it doesn't move, then close your other eye and look at it, and it'll move. Whichever eye moves means you're left eye or right eye dominant. Now, when you're putting, the trick is, I am left eye dominant. So the trick is, when I'm putting, it seems like I'm throwing it to the pole, dead center, but really I'm aiming to the left of the pole. And I actually aim about, for me, about 2 inches at 20 feet up to about 2 feet at 60 feet. And the idea is that you're bringing a different cross, and your eye's telling you you're throwing it at the left side, but really, because you're left eye dominant, you're actually throwing it at the pole. And the farther away it gets, the more drastic it is. And the reason I know this works, besides just myself, is in my classes and in Japan when I was teaching kids, I can stand there and watch them, and they'll miss left or miss right as they try it their way, and then I can put my finger in the basket and say, hit my finger right here. I could be 7 inches off the center, and they'll try to hit my finger, and they'll let go of it, and it goes right in the center. Because they don't realize that when your eyes are dominant, then it changes your perspective of where you're releasing it. And this is very common in bowling and any other sport where you aim something with your hand.
And finally, Dave discusses when and why you would use a kneeling putt.
Hello, you're here with Dave Felbert, and we're going to talk about one knee putts and talk about when they're needed and when it's a bonus to use one over a standing putt. So the reason I would use a one-knee putt on a course is when there is an overhang or some kind of obstacle. And the reason is when you're lining up a putt, and even though it's a low ceiling, you think, well, I can putt it in there. A lot of people really don't think about the line of their putt, how high it actually is at its highest point, because they're looking through the target when they let go of it. So a lot of times people will go to putt when they're standing up in a low ceiling area and think they've made a good stroke, but they hit the thing in front of them and it drops short of the basket. So if you drop to one knee, you can increase your line, and that's the obvious reason. The other reason I use it, though, the most important reason is that when you're straddling left or right from the tree and you're not comfortable straddle putter like most people, what happens is now you've taken a 20-footer that you would make all the time with your regular form, but now you're in a straddle and you're a little uncomfortable and you miss it sometimes. Well, what I like to do is drop to one knee, and that allows me to be in the exact same position as I would be standing up. And so if you drop to the one knee, and you pull it back, you pull it to the side of your leg, in between your legs, and it's the exact same putt that you would have when you're lining up a stand-up putt. And that's why I choose to use it, because it gives me the same consistent stroke and I feel more confident with it. Even though you're coming from low to high, as long as you practice it, it'll be a lot easier than making straddle putts, I think, from tree situations.
There you have them, three great tips from the world's number one ranked player, David Feldberg, right here on PDGA Radio.
Looking for official PDGA merchandise? Look no further than PDGAstore.com, your official online source for instructional books and DVDs, collectible discs, tournament supplies, stylish PDGA apparel, the newly released 2007 Pro Worlds DVD, and of course, the ever so valuable PDGA membership. Go online to PDGAstore.com, buy some cool new gear, and take the sport you love to even higher levels.
Just a few items for this week's Disc Golf News segment. Beyond this reminder to PDGA members to cast your online ballot for this year's PDGA elections, check your email or contact the PDGA office if you need the ballot resent or mailed to you or someone you know. That election ends July 31st. And now news on two disc golf courses, one in Pennsylvania and the other in Kentucky. We start in Montgomery Township, Pennsylvania, from a story written by Bradley Schlegel for the North Penn Life newspaper. He wrote that after 90 minutes of public testimony, the town supervisors will reopen their disc golf course in Windle Stray Park. but as a shortened 9-hole course that rotates among 12 total holes. The unanimous vote and 7 months of controversy over the course that was closed by the board in April. The new course design measures just over 2,500 feet in length and will be monitored quarterly for signs of environmental damage. Board Chairman Jeff McDonald says the new plan reasonably satisfies concerns some of the neighbors had about disc golf in the park. And now to Henderson, Kentucky, from the Scripps Newspaper Group and an article written by Frank Boyette in The Gleaner. He reports the City Council in Henderson voted unanimously to convert an old softball field and surrounding areas, which are located on an old landfill, into a 9-hole disc golf course. The council concluded the estimated cost of rejuvenating the softball field could exceed $100,000, making the $5,000 to $6,000 disc golf course seem like a bargain. Park Board Chairman Ken Christopher says he's excited about the course plans. The sport says is one that virtually anyone can take part in. It's easy to learn, fun to play, but difficult to master. Christopher also said the course may be expanded in future years. Meanwhile, the city's search for additional softball fields will continue elsewhere. And now your latest update in the Woodchuck Cider drive for the championship standings through 6 of the 9 national tour events. On the men's side, it's David Feldberg in the lead by just 3 points over Barry Schultz, 379 to 376. Eric McCabe not too far behind. He's at 364. Avery Jenkins at 340 and Kayla Visca in fifth at 322. And on the women's side, it's Valerie Jenkins at 400 points, followed by Des Redding at 390, Carrie Berlegar at 360, Liz Lopez at 336, and Katie Schrader at 254. For complete details and all the standings, go to pdga.com/drive, or you can just follow the link on the pdga.com homepage. Located on the scenic shores of Clark's Hill Lake in Columbia County, Georgia, is the Mecca of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center, a must-see for anyone who's ever played the sport. With a full-service pro shop, state-of-the-art training center, and 2 championship-caliber courses, it will challenge and improve every aspect of your game. Also, visit the Ed Hedrick Memorial Museum, home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and don't forget about the IDGC monthly tournaments the first Saturday of every month. Yes, it's all at the world's premier destination for the sport of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center. Just 3 National Tour events remain for this 2008 season, and the next one is right around the corner this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with the Golden State Classic on the famous La Mirada course in La Mirada, California. Last year's champions were Ken Climo and Valerie Jenkins, but it appears only Jenkins will be back to defend her title this year. The other National Tour events still to be played this year are the Brent Hambrick Memorial, July 12th and 13th. In Ohio, and the Vibram Open at Maple Hill in Massachusetts, July 25th and 27th. Then the entire disc golf world heads to Michigan for the Pro and Am Worlds, August 11th through the 16th. And elsewhere this upcoming weekend, there are sanctioned tournaments in Michigan with the Discraft Great Lakes Open. That's an always popular 8-tier event this year. There's also a couple more events in North Carolina this weekend. The Idaho Masters in Boise, the Rose City Open in Portland, Oregon, the Snowmass Open takes place in Colorado, and we've got other action in Auckland, New Zealand, Texas, Florida, Mississippi, Ohio, Iowa, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Illinois, and Germany, and more. For results on those tournaments, along with a preview of this year's Pro and Am Worlds event, join me again next week right here on PDGA Radio. Thanks again to our sponsors, Discraft, Innova, the International Disc Golf Center, and the PDGA Store at pdgastore.com. Are you or someone you know involved in a business or organization that would benefit from advertising to thousands of disc golfers worldwide on a weekly basis? If so, then PDGA Radio wants to help you out. There is now a limited number of spots open for advertising on PDGA Radio, where you'll have the opportunity to have your business heard about by thousands of disc golfers on the only weekly program covering the great sport of disc golf. Available on PDGARadio.com, iTunes, and numerous other podcasting websites, you'll be sure to see positive results from your small investment. For more information about advertising with PDGA Radio, contact Brian Graham at the PDGA office or email pdgaradio@pdga.com. PDGA Radio News is hosted and produced by Steve Kaczynski, exclusively in contract with the Professional Disc Golf Association. Advertising inquiries, along with comments about the show or programming ideas, may be sent to the host via email at pdga.radio@yahoo.com or by contacting the PDGA office. All sound effects and production music used with permission from Magic's Music Maker and A1FreeSoundEffects.com. All content is otherwise exclusively owned and copyrighted by the Professional Disc Golf Association and the producer.
Goodbye.